Senator Bernie Sanders is announcing this morning that he is in. He's running for the 2020 Democratic nomination for president. Sanders is set to release a video message later this morning. But in his first interview, he talked with VPR's Bob Kinzel.
Senator Sanders, good morning, and thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, Bob.
Bernie, there's been a lot of speculation about your political future. Would you be a candidate for president in 2020 after a very strong bid in 2016? And you've decided that the answer is yes, you will be a candidate for president again. So tell us, what are some of the biggest factors influencing your decision?
Well, first of all, I wanted to let the people of the state of Vermont know about this first. And what I promise to do is, as I go around the country, is to take the values that all of us in Vermont are proud of, our belief in justice, in community, in grassroots politics, and town meetings. That's what I'm going to carry all over this country. I'm running for president, I think, for two basic reasons, Bob. Number one, I think the current occupant of the White House is an embarrassment to our country. I think he is a pathological liar every day. He is telling one lie or another. And it gives me no pleasure to say that. But I also think he is a racist, a sexist, a homophobe, a xenophobe, somebody who is gaining cheap political points by trying to pick on minorities, often undocumented immigrants. And I cannot recall, certainly in my lifetime, and I think in modern history, that we have had a president who actually goes out of his way to try to divide the American people up based on where we were born or the color of our skin or our gender or whatever it may be. So, you know, I think what a president has got to do is bring our people together, not divide us up. And that's certainly one reason I'm running. And the second reason is that in the 2016 campaign, as you've indicated, we made a lot of progress in bringing forth ideas which 3 years ago, people were saying, oh, Bernie, these ideas are radical and they're extreme. The American people, you know, won't accept them. Well, it turns out that 3 years have come and gone, and many of the ideas that I talked about, you know, that health care is a right, not a privilege, and we've got to move toward a Medicare for all, a single-payer program, very, very popular. The idea that we have got to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. There are now five states in this country that have passed that legislation, and I hope Vermont will follow. And I believe it will pass the U.S. House of Representatives, and we're going to have a heck of a fight in the Senate. But that has gained enormous momentum. The idea that if you work 40 hours a week in the richest country in the world, you should not be living in poverty, that's an idea whose time has come. You know, when I talked about making public colleges and universities tuition-free and lowering student debt, that was another issue that people said, you know, was too radical. Well, that's also happening around the country. Climate change. You know, I got laughed at 3 years ago when I said climate change is one of the great crises facing our planet. Well, people are not laughing now, and they understand that we have to transform our energy system away from fossil fuel. And criminal justice reform and immigration reform and the need to fight racism and sexism and homophobia, all of those ideas, I think, are a lot more popular now. So, than they were 3 years ago. So, you know, we began the political revolution in the 2016 campaign, and now it's time to move that revolution forward and make sure that that vision, those ideas, are implemented into policy.
Now, one difference between this year and 2016, as you mentioned, your progressive agenda, is that you've got a lot of people running for president this year who share your agenda. So does that pose a challenge for your campaign?
Well, this is a very different campaign for a lot of reasons. That's certainly one of them. The other reason is last time I ran against one candidate, Secretary Clinton. This time, you know, there may be 10, 15, 20 candidates. So that makes it a very, very different campaign, a different set of challenges. But I think the other point that I would make, which I think distinguishes my candidacy from others, and there are a lot of good candidates out there. Some of them are good friends of mine, so I'm not here to badmouth anybody. But I think what I believe very strongly, Bob, is that if we're going to bring about real change in this country, if we're going to move to a Medicare for all system, if we're going to take on the drug companies, if we're going to take on the fossil fuel industry and transform our energy system, if we're going to take on the military-industrial complex, you can't do that by just operating inside the Beltway. And what I have asked today in the email that we sent out to many millions of people, I have asked folks to get on board this campaign to the tune of at least 1 million people. We're trying to get, unbelievably, I mean, in an unprecedented way, 1 million people who are going to get involved in the campaign, not only to win the Democratic nomination, not only to win the general election, but also to be involved in the process which transforms our country and creates a government that works for all of us and not just the few. This is tough stuff, but it has the only way that I know we succeed is when there is a strong grassroots movement of people prepared to stand up and fight.
Bernie, we saw in the 2018 election that Democrats were able to elect a lot of younger and more diverse candidates to the U.S. House. So what do you say to those people who argue that an older candidate like yourself really isn't the face of the new Democratic Party?
Well, I would say that for a start, I did my best to help elect many of those candidates. You know, when I talked about a political revolution, as you'll recall, in 2016, it was not only fighting for a progressive agenda. It was the need to bring millions of people, working people and young people, into the political process in a way that we had never seen before. In many ways, we have begun to move in that direction. So I am delighted that we are seeing a freshman class in the House of Representatives, which is more diverse, more women, more people of color, younger than we have seen before. That's what I have been fighting for. But I think also, Bob, you know, we have got to look at candidates, you know, not by the color of their skin, not by their sexual orientation or their gender, and not by their age. I mean, I think we have got to try to move us toward a non-discriminatory society which looks at people based on their abilities, based on what they stand for. I have been very blessed, you know, in my life, with good health, and I, there are folks out there today who are, you know, 90 years of age, who are working hard. There are folks who are 45 and 50 who are lethargic, don't have a whole lot of energy. I'm very, you know, lucky that as a kid I was a long distance runner, and I think I have and had and still have a great deal of energy. So I would ask people to look at the totality of who I am, my energy level, my record in the United States Senate, and not just at one criteria.
What do you say to those people, Bernie, who point out that you were elected to the Senate as an independent, not a Democrat? In fact, you turned down the Democratic nomination in your 2018 race. They refer to you as being a Democrat when it's convenient for you. What about those concerns?
Well, they should know that Bernie Sanders is a member of the Democratic leadership in the United States Senate, that I was a member of the Democratic caucus in the U.S. House for 16 years, that I have raised millions of dollars to help elect over the years, to help elect Democrats to a variety of positions, that I worked as hard as anybody. I went to, I think, 13 states in the 2018 campaign to elect Democrats to the Congress, to the Senate, to governor's offices, and I think people are very appreciative of the work that I've done. But I would also say, Bob, is that if you look at the polling out there, there are many, many millions of people who are not enamored with either the Republican or the Democratic Party. And I think, in fact, that being an independent who functions within the Democratic Party is a very positive thing, because we're reaching out to many independents, including a lot of young people, a lot of people of color, who are not affiliated with either party, and say to them, the future is within the Democratic Party. Come on in. And that's the way I think you win elections.
And Bernie, a few weeks ago, there were charges of discrimination and sexism raised about your 2016 campaign. How do you plan to address these issues this time around?
Well, that's a very fair question, Bob. And that reality hurt me very much. It upset me, and it should never have happened. And I think the reason for it is, you know, is, as you well know, we started that campaign with like four or five people. Our ideas caught on. They exploded. We ended up winning 22 states. And we then started hiring people in a very rapid way. We went from a few people, and in a few months, we had like 1,200 people. And frankly, as I have since learned, some of those people should never have been hired. In my 2018 campaign for re-election here in Vermont to the Senate, we established protocols which were as strong as any in the country, making sure that if anybody believed that he or she was harassed, there was a mechanism outside of the campaign for them to address their concerns. We are going to be providing a whole lot of education to all of in training to all of our employees, and we have on board as part of this campaign a very experienced and professional team of folks who do exactly this. They deal with sexual harassment and discrimination, and if anyone on this campaign feels aggrieved, they're going to have an opportunity to make that concern go to people who know what they're doing.
One last question for you. I'm wondering, what are some of the most important things that you learned during your 2016 race that will help you this time around?
Well, Bob, I learned that the United States is a very, very big country, and that there are people in the African-American community who have some very serious concerns. There are people in the Latino community who have very serious concerns. There are white folks in West Virginia who have very, very serious concerns. And it was an amazing and process to me, and a real learning process to understand, a lot more about the issues that impact the people of this country. Going to Native American reservations, my God, I learned so much. So there are a lot of issues out there, and we intend to run a campaign which stands up for working people, whether they're black or white, Latino, Native American, Asian American. We are going to run a campaign which tells the people on top that their greed has got to end. They cannot get it all. We are the wealthiest country in the history of the world. We cannot continue to have three people owning more wealth than the bottom half of the American people, cannot continue to have kids unable to afford to go to college, 30 million people without health insurance, family farmers going out of business. We can do a lot better. So there's a lot to be discussed, and I intend to run a strong, issue-oriented campaign.
Senator Bernie Sanders, many thanks for taking the time to talk to us this morning about your decision to run for president.
Bob, thank you very much. Take care.